streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back to the Junkyard Dogcast, everybody. I'm Jake Rowe with Dogs 24/7. With me are my guys Kip Adams and Rusty Mansell, also of Dogs 24/7. And the regular season's over. Georgia's 11-1 for the third straight year. Beat Georgia Tech in Atlanta for the 10th straight time. 52-7, largest margin of victory for Georgia in series history. And we're going to have a little bit on that. We're going to jump right into the SEC championship game. We're going to talk about the opening line. We're going to talk about some of the players Georgia's going to be missing in this game. George Pickens for the first half, Lawrence Cager for the entire game and likely the rest of the season, and how Georgia's going to make up for that. And we're going to get into that in just a second. But first of all, I want to tell everybody something we've got coming tomorrow at Dogs 24/7, Cyber Monday special. You get your first month if you sign up over at Dogs 24/7 tomorrow. Now, this is we're saying this on Sunday night. This comes into effect tomorrow. You get your first month for $1, or the big deal, you can get 75% off an annual membership at Dogs 24/7. It means a full year for 75% off of what the price normally would be. You're looking roughly in the neighborhood of what, $35 there to be a member of Dogs 24/7 for an entire year. Great deal. Love to have you guys come check us out. We're gonna have tons of news this week on this game. We're gonna have tons coming up over the next year. Early signing period, regular national signing day, tons going on. But just wanted to throw that out there real quick. And now let's jump into the Georgia Tech game real quick, and let's talk about this game. Just brush over it real quickly. I think what happened was what everybody expected to happen. But, Rusty, one quick thought from the Georgia Tech game. Take it away.
Just manhandled once they got through the initial couple plays, and give Georgia Tech credit. You know, the onside kick, putting a helmet on the ball against DeAndre Swift in the first half, coughing up a fumble. Georgia Tech did everything they could to stay in that game, but it was a one-sided affair at the end of the day. Georgia didn't start great. Jake Fromm didn't start great. Some things finished off, with George Pickens coming in. I'm sure we'll talk about, the incident with him, but Georgia got clicking, and I think the bigger picture from what everybody's going to be concerned, you cannot start again like that next week or you'll be down 17-0. Instead up 17-0. So Georgia handled business. They should. Those are two totally different rosters. Jake, you were there, but from what I saw on TV, impressive amount of Georgia fans in that stadium. And all in all, seems to be, what we're hearing with DeAndre Swift seemed to be pretty healthy. Everybody's going to have some banged up nicks and things like that at the end of the year. But Georgia went in and handled business, and I think the outcome was pretty much expected.
Absolutely. And Georgia fans, they took over Bobby Dodd again, and that's what happens when you've won 14 out of 15 over the last 30 years in that stadium. And the only loss was a Jasper Sanks quote-unquote fumble that wasn't a fumble, that if there was instant replay, Georgia wins that game probably. So, Georgia has dominated in Atlanta. I mean, it's crazy to think about. If not for that Jasper Sanks game in 1999, Georgia would have 15 straight on Grant Field against Georgia Tech, and basically a 30-year run of never losing in Atlanta against their in-state rival. That's just wild to me. Kip, what was your number one takeaway from the game?
And the main thing for me was it just kind of caught me off guard just looking at the talent difference. Obviously, when you're changing the scheme that you're running offensively, you're going to go through this. I mean, it's definitely not what Paul Johnson ran there. But, that team had always given Georgia a good fight, and it was always a competitive game. I mean, you'll have a blowout every, now and then, but just seeing Georgia Tech's offense out there and just them not being able to get first downs on a consistent basis at all. I mean, having that many punts and a 12-3 and outs, only four first downs the whole game. And that kind of just it did kind of surprise me. I mean, 13 punts, that was incredible. So just seeing that major talent difference in the game. And the one thing that kind of caught my eye, and I want to ask you guys this, because I can't say I've watched a ton of Georgia Tech football this year, but it really seemed to me that Georgia Tech was running a ton of empty backfield sets in this game. And, I mean, talk about catching a break. In previous years, you know, Georgia's playing Georgia Tech, you know, before an SEC championship game. You know, they'd be out there having this scheme against all week and play against, you know, an option offense. And now, I mean, they were able to go out there and defend what, for me, looks very similar to what LSU runs. I can't think of a team I've seen this year that runs empty backfield sets as much as LSU does on offense. And it's just kind of striking to me that, you know, Jeff Collins, those are the plays that he called. It's almost like he just gave Kirby Smart, you know, he did him a solid. And that's the one thing I took away from that game, was that Georgia basically got kind of a, now granted, it's not the same look as far as the talent, like I said, but they schematically, they just got, you know, a warm up for what they're going to see next week in an SEC championship game. So I want to get you guys' take if you guys saw the same thing.
From a go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, I mean, definitely saw some empty backfield. Think that, you know, obviously Georgia Tech did some three back stuff that Georgia's not going to see against LSU. But yeah, I mean, the empty backfield stuff and maybe, you know, some of the same blitzes, some of the same looks, some of the same things that you may have stumbled into against Georgia Tech might kind of give you a little bit of a look or something you can work off of against LSU.
I think it's a great point by Jay and by Kip, but you know, the preparation factor is something that Georgia caught a break with as well, because you know what they had to do all year, the couple periods they said they spent every week. But I know the week before they played Georgia Tech, they would always take a scout team offense, and they would have to work with those guys, basically pull them out of preparations for other teams, and they would work with them to have them ready to go the next week. So there was a lot of time invested in playing someone like Georgia Tech in that offense. Obviously, Kirby Smart and them had it down the last couple of results versus them, but there was a lot that went into defending the triple that Paul Johnson had at Georgia Tech. So the biggest thing, too, as well, is just time, because Georgia sees what Georgia Tech ran yesterday, you know, pretty much every single week in some fashion or form. But the triple was so unique, and it was so much to prepare for. So time-wise was another huge deal in not facing that offense, as well as your defensive lineman getting cut all day, you know, 7 days before you play in Alabama and LSU or in Auburn.
Yeah, that's the big thing, Rusty, for me is the cut block and the physical style of it, the kind of having to switch gears. Preparing for it's one thing. You should be able to out-talent them at the end of the day. But now you don't have to completely switch gears and, you know, flush all of that and get ready for an SEC championship game. There's a little bit more carryover there. Maybe even if there's any, it's more than they had in the past, which should be there. My biggest takeaway is the fact that first quarter, you know, outside the first drive, couple drives, you know, and the second half was how Georgia's supposed to look against inferior opponents. And we haven't seen that of late. You know, I think we all thought Georgia would jump on Kentucky. It was the rain game. Thought Georgia would jump on Missouri. Didn't do it. Just didn't play well enough to do it. Thought Georgia might jump on Texas A&M and click a little bit offensively and didn't do it. And I know Georgia Tech's nowhere near as good as those teams are. But Georgia did finally click and do some things offensively that you've wanted them to do. They looked confident a little bit on offense finally. And I think all of those things are, I mean, you don't want to see it be the other way. You don't want to see them struggle. And I thought that finally you saw Georgia look like the confident offense that it can be. And whether or not it shows up this week against LSU remains to be seen. I'm not sure if you can really take anything away from it, but that's how Georgia's supposed to look against Georgia Tech. I mean, for all intents and purposes, Georgia should have had 35 points in the third quarter, because if not for a DeAndre Swift fumble at the four-yard line, Georgia does have 35 points in the third quarter. And those were all things to me that kind of stood out. Let's jump into this LSU game here real quick, and we're going to talk about the opening line. Westgate Superbook has Georgia as a 6-point underdog. Okay, it's kind of hung around there as a 6-point underdog. And Rusty, gonna throw it to you first. What's your thoughts on that opening line? A little high, a little low, right around where you expected it?
A little high. You know, I kind of thought 3 or 4. Six is for a game like this, you know, traditionally a little bit higher, but it'd be interesting which way it goes. I think the Florida game opened at 6 and got down to 3, and then it came back up to 6, if I'm correct, in favor of Georgia as the week went on. But I lines are created to get action on both sides. I think that's what people don't put into thought about, that they're trying to entice enough on both sides to play this game, gamblers. So 6 seems a little high to me. I don't know what the point total. Kip, you know what the point total is? Is there a point total yet for the game? I think that's what would be interesting to me, to see what they think LSU and Georgia can score together. That would be,
Rusty, I think it's right around 56 points.
That's, you know, that interests me. Can Georgia hold LSU enough to keep that thing under? But 6 to me sounds a tad bit high. I was thinking more 4, 3 or 4, but we'll see what the line does the rest of this week.
Kip, what about you? What are kind of your thoughts on that line and you know, being at 6 points and Georgia being a 6-point dog?
I think the perception is pretty clear that even with this last game, you know, of them eclipsing the 50-point mark, Georgia's offense is not thought of as being in the realm of LSU's. And so, I mean, you just look at Jake Fromm, you know, the first 8 games and then the last 4 games. Just it seems like he's hitting on the more difficult throws better than he's hitting, you know, the short and intermediate stuff, the stuff that he was known for, you know, the first 2.5 seasons of his career seems to be what he's struggling with now. I mean, you look at the throws that he made, that throw to Tyler Simmons in the game, you know, it's just not changing the perception that he's going to be able to lead an offense in a shootout. It just has never been, you know, his game. So I think Vegas is kind of just saying, listen, I think that we respect Georgia's defense a lot. I don't expect LSU to hit their season average as far as scoring, but we're not sure if Georgia can get over, you know, 24 or get to 30 points. So, I mean, it makes sense. It's a good spot to start and see where the money goes. And I think that overall, if you're saying Georgia's coming in less than a touchdown underdog, I mean, I think most people would not be offended by that, just based on the eye test that we've seen throughout this season from both teams.
You know, I kind of tend to go with more of the perception and the things that are being said. That's my realm. That's kind of where I operate. And I felt like it was a little low. I thought that this, you know, last year Georgia was a 12-point dog to Alabama in the SEC championship game. I know Alabama had a much more talented defense front to back than LSU does, and Georgia's defense not as good as it last year as it is this year. But I thought it would be more in the 8 to 10 point range. I didn't think it would be as high as it was last year when Alabama came in as those 12-point favorites, but I really thought that ultimately Georgia struggles on offense, and all the talk about that and all the love that LSU's been getting, even though the committee bumped them down to number 2 because of the defense thing, which I really can't understand, because LSU's had a lot of points scored on them late in some blowouts. But, you know, I really just didn't understand, you know, a lot of that. And I thought that ultimately Georgia would be a little bit, you know, further down than they are. And that's just kind of, you know, it kind of surprised me a little bit. It really surprised me a couple weeks ago when the offshore folks had it at like a 3.5-point spread. And then, you know, after what we've seen the last couple weeks, Georgia's still only a 6-point dog. And I think that's a big thing to kind of, I mean, for me to for it to be just 6 points just kind of threw me off a little bit.
I think there's something to be said about, one, where the game's going to be played. The fact that Georgia has been there before. They've been in this game. I mean, especially this current team. Jake Fromm, this coaching staff, this is their third straight trip here, this setting. You know, LSU, Ed Orgeron, you know, this crew, they haven't played in this game. And so you have that experience factor, and at the same time, the coaching experience factor with Kirby's coached in this game before. You know, he knows what to expect, and this team knows what to expect. I mean, these guys have played in this game. They've played beyond this game in the college football playoff. And so with LSU, you still have that, you know, that little unknown of maybe there's going to be a letdown in the big game. I mean, there is so much pressure on them to get over that hump, and the hump that every program has is getting past Alabama, and they did that. But yet, can they do it again? And there's still that question mark involved. I think there's something to be said about that, and I think that maybe Vegas is putting a premium on that. But at the same time, I mean, you could make the case that Georgia has fielded the best defense in the country this season. And so when you look at that, it is that, you know, that unstoppable force versus the immovable object. It's some people think that defense might play a counter role to that offense, and that when you're in the second half of this game, that experience might be the difference in such a game. And I mean, Georgia's team has always been able to handle the adversity, and you see it on this roster. These are players that the moment has never been too big for them, and they've never really let it get to them. And I mean, you even see it from the player interviews after the Georgia Tech game, you know, with what happened to George Pickens. You see that accountability becoming apparent between Brian Harian and Tyler Simmons. These are guys that know this is their last trip. This is their last chance to get to the mountaintop. And I think that when you look at that, I mean, they're 6 points. It's almost a touchdown, and it might be pretty fair. I mean, LSU has been picked as this this monster that can't be stopped, and it might be true. But this is a battle-tested Georgia team that still has plenty of talent, and at least on one side of the ball has established itself as being a dominant presence on the football field.
Yeah, that's a good point, especially on the location and the experience in this game. And Jake Fromm's played well in this game at times, and especially against Auburn a couple years ago, and last year against Alabama. I mean, over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, came up just short. Probably if DeAndre Walker doesn't go in that game, Georgia wins that game as a 12-point underdog. Well, we're going to jump into a break here real quick. Before I do that, I want to remind you guys once again, Cyber Monday, 75% off an annual membership to Dogs 24/7. I did the math on it real quick while we were doing the show. That's less than $30 for an annual membership to Dogs 24/7, less than $3 a month to get VIP chats, to get access to the message boards, to get X's and O's breakdowns, the famous dog treats where you get all the recruiting information you could ask for, access to us through direct message or the message board itself so that we can answer any and all questions you have. Great deal, great time to sign up. CBS All Access, once you become a member of the site full time, it's a really, really cool setup, and we'd love to have you. But let's jump into a break here real quick, and on the other side, we're going to talk about how Georgia can get its offense going despite the fact that it's going to be missing some big-time weapons on the outside.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Lawrence Cager's out for the season, almost certainly out for the season. Kirby Smart said it'll be very doubtful that he'd be able to return at any point. George Pickens was suspended for the first half of the Georgia Tech game, comes into the third quarter. On a touchdown pass that's thrown to Dominic Blaylock on the other side of the field, he throws two punches in a little skirmish with a Georgia Tech defensive back, got himself booted from the game, and now he's kicked out for the first two quarters of the SEC championship game. Rusty, how does Georgia deal with that?
I mean, look, we could talk the rest of the show about that, but that doesn't help Georgia at all. I mean, obviously with Cager out and Pickens probably the next guy that could step in there and be that, big threat and somebody that Jake Fromm is getting more targets. You can see yesterday when he was in the game, immediately he started getting targets. He's a special player. He's a young kid, made a mistake. Obviously got suspended in the first half, so that, not going to sugarcoat it. There's some things that he needs to clean up off the field, obviously, and you got to control your temper in a situation like that. But what it does to Georgia in the first half, thought a lot about it today. Georgia is wanting to run the ball, I'm sure, against LSU, but you've got to give them some kind of threat on the outside. Tyler Simmons is the one guy that I think, we all know Tyler Simmons. We all covered him in recruiting. His body, his speed, he's a 200, probably, he's probably 215, 210 when you see him. Legit 10-600 guy. He just hasn't had that translate as well to the field, but he is starting to make a couple of plays. He's made two big plays 2 weeks in a row. Balls that usually probably went to Cager, probably would have went to George Pickens, those back shoulder 50-50 throws. So, you look at that, and that gives you a little bit of promise. But Georgia, as we talk about this game more as the week goes on, I'm not going to say Georgia needs to survive the first quarter. Georgia needs to be careful and not get themselves way behind, because we all know playing behind for Georgia right now would not be to their advantage the way the offense is going, the way it has been going. They need to control the narrative like they do with their defense. But, having George Pickens out for the first half is a big, big blow. And I'm sure we'll talk about that the rest of the week, because LSU would definitely have to account for him. And I tell you, man, that's a big deal as we get moving forward, the rest of the week and getting into making decisions. That's a big deal to me.
Kip, what are your thoughts on it, man?
Well, first off, just one little ray of sunshine. I thought Tyler Simmons had his best game of the year. I mean, just as far as just making the plays when they needed him to, it's been a point that everyone's kind of been watching. When the ball went his way, great things were not happening. But five touches for 74 yards and a touchdown. I mean, again, we know it was Georgia Tech, but listen, you got to start somewhere. It's a good time for him to have a good game, because they're definitely going to need it. But for me, I mean, I got to stick with what I've said all along, and we saw it from James Culley against Georgia Tech. Get James Cook the football, and it wasn't just getting him the ball this time. It was just kind of how they got him the ball. I mean, you don't have Cager out there. Pickens is sitting out the first half of this game. James Cook is now he's got to get the ball in this SEC championship. That's where things are right now, just because of what he can do. And you put him out there in the slot and you attack LSU's linebackers. That's what you're going to have to do. I thought that James Cook looked great, against Georgia Tech, and he's averaging over 7 yards per touch, and then after the catch, especially, I mean, it's over 10 yards he's getting after the catch. And other than Dominic Blaylock, I mean, that's as good as it gets in this Georgia team. So I think for Georgia to be able to hang with LSU and what they're going to plan to do, they're going to have to work the middle of the field. Because if you look at LSU's cornerbacks, I mean, Derek Stingley Jr., I mean, he is an incredible talent. And then Christian Fulton is playing outstanding football. So outside, it's going to be tough. And I know that that's Jake Fromm's bread and butter, but those guys are allowing less than 50% completions in coverage. And they are breaking passes up, and they are picking quarterbacks off. So you don't have Pickens and Cager, then you're not going to win as many of those 50-50 battles on the outside. But, again, LSU's linebackers, that's if you're going to find a weak spot in that defense, especially in the passing game, that's it. So whether it's getting James Cook out there in the slot, but then also just getting the ball outside to Swift and Herrien and Dominic Blaylock, attacking those linebackers is going to give you a chance to hang with an offense that is going to put points on the board. No one's expecting Georgia to shut them out as strong as that defense is. But again, I've said it earlier in the season, and when they do it, they look pretty good doing it, and that's diversifying that run game. And that helps you sustain these drives and make high percentage plays and keep LSU's offense off the field. That is the recipe to success for Georgia as far as that time of possession battle. And you do not want to give them extra possessions because they've shown they can be pretty efficient with them.
Yeah, I like the idea of James Cook. And listen, I thought one of the best calls against Georgia Tech was Jake Fromm drops back. He wants to throw the quick screen to James Cook, and Georgia Tech jumps it. They are all over it. Jake Fromm throws it over James Cook's head. Then Georgia comes back to it on the other side. They run the screen and go, pump and go. George Pickens wide open behind the defense. The guy who was supposed to be covering Pickens was 5 yards deep in the backfield while George Pickens was 25 yards downfield. You don't get more open than that. And, you know, I think that was a product. And I still think there's so much stuff that Georgia has done with James Cook in the motion game and things like that, that it can play off of against LSU. But my thing is this, and I mentioned this on the Dogs 24/7 Junkyard today. If I'm Georgia, I've at least got to give it a shot. Two tight ends, best blocking wide receiver, two backs in the game, not necessarily a fullback, but I'm talking about like James Cook, flat motion, DeAndre Swift and Brian Herrien, cram it in there tight, get heavy personnel in there, maybe that sixth offensive lineman that we've seen sometime, and try to hit LSU with the body blows. Outside zone, speed sweep, quick throws to the perimeter, you know, James Cook in flat motion, and then you kind of work off of that. Things like that to kind of keep LSU guessing, misdirection. Try to get you a couple 6-7 minute drives put together and get points on the board. And then you've done what Rusty talked about earlier, and that's you've weathered the storm in the first half. And not only have you weathered the storm in the first half, you've dealt all those body blows that you want to deal, right? You've won the time of possession battle, and you've got your defense as rested as possible going into a final two quarters of football against an offense that's probably going to come alive at some point and make you face some adversity. And those are all things that I think it's kind of a no-brainer. I'm interested to see if I guess on that and get it right, because it is a straight-up guess. But Georgia's got two very good tight ends who listen, they're not super big-time playmakers. There are bigger mismatches out there, but they're reliable guys. Charlie Warner's a fantastic blocker. Eli Wolf has come a long way in that regard. You know, Brian Herrien can come in as a second back and give you a blocking presence. He can be the guy who carries it. James Cook can be a decoy and be a guy that you can get out on the perimeter. Tyler Simmons gives you an option there, too, can come in tight and kind of cut off some of the backside pursuit. There are so many options there. And you know, if you pointed Kip to the cornerback play, Stingley and Fulton, those guys are excellent. You know who else is great? Grant Delpit, who works over the middle of the field. He's a really good football player. I'm not super high on LSU's defensive line and defensive line depth. And so I think that's one area where Georgia can attack. Now, we know that Georgia's had some problems when it comes to getting teams blocked up front. That's just all there is to it. They've struggled. I think Jamari Sawyer kind of gave the offensive line a lift a little bit at left guard. I'm really interested to see, and I'm going to be checking with everybody I can that is close to the team to kind of see what the thought is on how Sawyer played this past Saturday against Georgia Tech. But that's kind of the way I would look at it. And, Rusty, I kind of wanted to throw it back to you real quick. Is that an option? Do you think, you know, putting yourself in Kirby Smart's shoes and James Coley's shoes, do you think that, you know, hey, they might go like old school Buford High School offense a little bit, go too tight and try to punch him in the ribs and in the gut enough times to take a toll on them early?
I mean, you look at what Georgia does. I mean, they're not a quick strike offense. They're, you know, what people say, the boa constrictor. They try to suffocate you and wear you down. And I don't see that changing this week with, you know, definitely without Lawrence Cager and a half without George Pickens. I can't see any other way to attack them. You know, you talked about some short, quick timing passes, those types of things. You know, can James Cook, you know, be that guy? But yeah, I just think you're going to have to put body on body, move some people. If you run the ball, and LSU has shown at times they're vulnerable to that, especially the Ole Miss game, where not only did Plumlee hurt them, Jerrion Ealy, the freshman running back, hurt them as well. So, you know, can Georgia, if Georgia's able to run the ball, and if I'm Kirby Smart, I'm just trying to get to halftime to get my best pieces together with Pickens on the field, you know, and then it frees up a little bit. But I still think that Georgia is going to try to put a body on a body. And Jamari Sawyer is a very powerful young man. We all know that. They've got big bodies there and all across the board. LSU, Dave Aranda is one of the best, if not the best, defensive coordinator in the country. So certainly he's not going to sit there. You know, Georgia is going to be able to study that tape from last year. And it's been known that Dave Aranda went around to some of these coaching clinics and kind of showed what he did to Georgia to stop that running game. I mean, he used some of those examples. So that type of thing doesn't take too long to get around to different staffs. I mean, it's not an insult. I mean, he did what he did, and, you know, Georgia hadn't gashed him a couple of times, but they really got after Georgia that day. They really got after Jake Fromm. And, you know, you take away the weather of any other game, that's probably Jake Fromm's worst game he ever played, was at LSU. Last year. So he's going to have a little bit of an idea of how Dave Aranda is going to attack him and those types of things. So I'm very interested this week, but I do think if you're Georgia, you want to be able to run the ball, obviously score some points, but you can shorten that half if you're able to move those sticks and move it on the ground. You can shorten that game to get to halftime, to get to where you are. But very interested how they attack this offensively, because that's going to be the key, especially without a big piece of the puzzle in Pickens for the first half.
That, you know, listen, we're going to have all of this covered. We're going to have so much stuff as the week goes on. I'm going to do an X's and O's feature later this week on looking ahead to Georgia LSU. We're going to have, you know, interviews tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, it's SEC Championship week. We're veterans at this now. We've done it, you know, this is the third year in a row, so we're going to have tons of coverage for you at Dogs 24/7. That's all we've got for this particular show, though. I'm Jake Rowe from Dogs 24/7. They're Kip Adams and Rusty Mansell, also of Dogs 24/7. This has been the Junkyard Dogcast, and you guys take it easy.
Chapman, welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.